Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ing's Sunday Soul Connection. Before we begin this morning's message, I'd like to invite you all to open your hearts and include a beloved member that has passed on from the Sunday Soul e-community, our dear friend Keith. He listened regularly for the last few years, and he fought long and hard, a strenuous battle, let's say it like that. And so we know that God is the life, the spirit, the presence that is everywhere present. And so we know that when we shed this physical form, we return back to the source of all that is. And so this morning, as we dedicate our Sunday soul to peace, we know that these loving and peace-filled vibrations will arrive and reach him wherever he is. We hold his family and friends that are surely grieving at this sad time in our hearts as well. As always, we like to begin by setting the intention of our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
As always, I like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so as we consciously come together in community to deepen in our connection with the source of all that is God in us as us. This morning's reflection came about as a result of something that I saw and something that I read. What I saw, someone had sent me, was a little video of people in Kuwait selling other human beings. They were placing them on various apps that were on the Apple and Google store, and they were actually selling human beings. I can't tell you what that evoked in me. Here in the 21st century, modern-day slavery exists. We know it, but we kind of turn a blind eye because it's not in our face. It's not something we have to deal with or think about on a daily basis, as we're too busy existing and getting on with our own situations and stuff in life. The second thing that I read, and that touched me, and kind of is the reason for this morning's service, was about, she's one of two, I believe, black Zen Buddhist teachers in the world, and her name is Reverend Angel Kyodo Williams. And she writes about living with a nonviolent warrior spirit, inspired by the Buddha. Now, you know me well enough to know that language is very important. And so I wrestled with the word warrior because it strikes me of aggression, of war, of battling, of fighting. And so I Googled it. What's the definition? And it said that it's a person who shows or has shown great vigor, courage, or aggressiveness, as in politics or athletics. Well, I decided to discount the latter part and just settle for the first part, vigor and courage. And to be a warrior spirit, I Googled what spirit said. And it said, the principle of conscious life, the vital principle in humans, animating the body and mediating between body and soul. So therefore, I could reconcile that a warrior spirit was something that we could embody in our daily lives. Because the spirit is that which gives life, and the warrior is that which gives action and clear direction. So we need to wrestle, no longer wrestle with battling or fighting, but embrace being a warrior spirit in the terms of being vital, in the terms of being active, in the terms of how do we show up as expressions of the divine. I remember reading something a long, long time ago. And the person said that if you're not doing something in life, you're just breathing, taking up space, get off the earth. And so what Reverend Angel Kyoto Williams says is that the Buddha, who was known as Gautama, was born into a warrior clan known as the Shakyas. So even before the Gautama Buddha was born as a Shakya warrior, he had been a warrior in his previous life. Because he'd been a bodhisattva. And a bodhisattva is simply an awakened one, one that chooses to dedicate their life to helping humanity. And so he walked his path being wakeful and aware that he was there to be of service. He was what you could term or call an awakened warrior. Not just drifting through life aimlessly, but being aware that his life needed to be of benefit to all, and that there was work to be done in this world, that we all have to take responsibility to end the suffering, not just our own, but looking to see how can we create a world that works for everyone. So if we are to be in this time, in this century, in this moment, a warrior spirit, what does that need to look like? As I share often, none of us are called to be the next Mother Teresa or Gandhi or any of the great leaders that we look to. But we are called to be our most sincerest, genuine, authentic self. We are here to follow the one commandment that our teacher told us, which was to love God with all our heart and soul and mind, and that we were to love each other and love ourselves. That is what our teacher and way-shower taught. Everything else is just commentary. All the doctrines and theologies that have been created around his name fail sometimes to reiterate and emphasize this one truth that he taught us. And so it is this morning my invitation is, how do we resurrect our warrior spirit? How do we express the God in us with great vigor and courage? How do we do it so that it can touch and make a difference in this world? And I have said over and over, there is no size or comparison in God or spirit. That which has made the tiniest ant or molecule to the expansive and largest cosmos and galaxies that exist does not judge size. It simply knows the faith with which we do things. So whether we take the time to to let someone go in front of us at the checkout. Whether we take the time to go through our wardrobes and look at things that we haven't worn in the last year or two, then give them away to help another person that is in dire need. Whether we take a few extra tins in our shopping basket and put for the food bank. There are numerous ways in which our warrior spirit can be shown or demonstrated. I want to share a poem this morning. It's a short poem. It's translated from a 13th century poem called Bani Adam, which translates to humankind. It is actually on the walls of the United Nations. It's a poem that was quoted by Barack Obama when he sent a message to Iran in 2009. And it's more recently, Coldplay have used this poem as the title of a song in their new album, Every Day. Because it's so short, I want to share with you three different translations of it. The first one is the rhyming translation by M. Ariane Paul. Human beings are members of a whole, in creation of one essence and soul. If one member is afflicted with pain, other members, uneasy, will remain. If you've no sympathy for human pain, the name of human you cannot retain. The next translation is by H. Vahid Dasjeridi. Adam's sons are bodies, limbs to say, for they've created of the same clay. Should one organ be troubled by pain, others would suffer severe strain. Thou careless of people's suffering, deserve not the name human being. Our final translation is Dr. Iraj Bashiri. Of one essence is the human race. Thus has creation put the base. One limb impacted is sufficient for all others to feel the mace. The unconcerned with others' plight are but brutes with human face. My sacred text is from James 2:14-17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And the Buddha says, if you do not take care of one another, who else will do so? Those who would take care of me should care for those who are sick. My story this morning says Nobel Peace Prize winner Layman Gubawi founded a women's nonviolent peace movement that helped stop the second Liberian Civil War in 2003. One night she heard a clear spiritual call. I had a dream. I didn't know where I was. Everything was dark. I couldn't see her face, but I heard a voice, and it was talking to me, commanding me, gather the women to pray for peace. In some ways, that dream and that moment were the start of everything. We knelt down on the worn brown carpet and closed our eyes. Dear God, thank you for sending us this vision, said Sister Esther. Give us your blessing, Lord, and offer us your protection and guidance in helping us to understand what it means. My dream became the Christian Women's Peace Initiative. In April 2002, about 20 Lutheran women from local churches gathered to follow the message I'd been sent. praying each Tuesday at noon in the small upstairs chapel of the St. Peter's compound. Sometimes we fasted. Soon other church women heard what we were doing and began to join us. Jesus, help us. You are the true Prince of Peace, the only one who can grant us peace. We live in a closed, guarded box, and the most ordinary acts could bring down terrible punishment. Nobody seemed willing to do anything. Now, finally, we women were going to take action. Gabari describes the tireless efforts of organizing for peace in a country that had undergone immense suffering, violence, and corruption. 3 days a week for 6 months, the women of WIPNET, Women in Peacebuilding Network, went out to meet the women of Monrovia. We went to the mosques on Friday at noon after prayers, to the markets on Saturday morning, to two churches every Sunday. We gave our sisters the same message. Liberian women awake for peace. It wasn't easy. Women who have suffered for nearly as long as they can remember come to a point where they look down, not ahead. But as we kept working, women began to look up and listen. No one had spoken to them this way before. We handed out flyers, said, "We are tired. We are tired of our children being killed. We are tired of being raped. Women, wake up. You have a voice in the peace process." As the women of WIPNET gathered together, my fear, depression, and loneliness were finally totally wiped away. Others who felt the same way I did stood beside me. I wasn't alone anymore, and I knew in my heart that everything I had been through, every pain, had led me to this point. Leading women to fight for peace was what I was meant to do with my life. I think you would agree that that story is truly inspirational. And again, we can do something right where we are. I try not to look at mainstream news media, but every time I do, at the end of flicking through the headlines, I stop for a moment, cover the phone with my hands, and pray. I don't have the words to pray for all the needs, but I know that I can surrender to that to whom knows the need for everything that exists on this earth. And so, my beloveds, always the invitation is, it doesn't matter what you think you can or can't do, you can do something. I'm always encouraged and mindful of the words of Edward Everett Hale, who says, "I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do." That has encouraged me through my charity and through my day-to-day life. It is easy to get overwhelmed with everything that is happening in our world. But if the one thing we can do is to pray, to sit and be at peace, to invite the spirit that pervades everything and everyone to do its perfect work in and through us, in and through every situation, then if that's the one thing you can do, that is truly something. As the women of Liberia demonstrated, prayer works. And if we all come together to pray for a world that works for all, where justice and peace and equity, the things that become a common occurrence, not something that is the exception, no matter where it be in the world, where we no longer have people being sold, where we no longer have children who are unable to go to school because they do not have the fees, or they do not have enough food to eat, or that there is not enough medicines or right stuff in the hospitals or clinics. we cannot separate ourselves from the rest of the world. Because, as our teacher taught us, anything that we do for another fellow human being, we have done to him. Always I am mindful, and he says, that we were to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those in prison. It is all too easy and too comfortable to think that we should leave it for someone else to do, that it is someone else's problem, that it is not our work, but it is. My scientist mind reading entitled The World That Works for All. The first quote comes from Neil Donald Walsh. There is no truth except the truth that exists within you. Everything else is what someone is telling you. The second quote from Ernest Holmes, it's up to you. Principle is not bound by precedent, and our good is not limited or conditioned by any good that has ever been manifest. We should confidently expect a greater good than we have ever experienced or than we have ever known of anyone experiencing. The author writes, Centers for Spiritual Living is guided by a vision of a healthy, loving world called the Global Vision that invites us to imagine a world that works for everyone. A friend once joked with me about the vision, saying, I know exactly what a world that works for everyone looks like for me. It would be a world where everyone does exactly what I want them to do. Although he meant to be humorous, he identified an important consideration for creating a world that works for all. We cannot be so tuned into ourselves that we become intolerant or dismissive of the variety of ways other people wish the world to be. Our idea of a working world must be larger than our individual preferences and desires. It must embrace with respect the diversity of other people's worldview. I can no more expect people to behave the way I want them to than I can expect them to believe the way I believe. Nevertheless, the global vision is in no way requires me to give up my spiritual values or to refrain from expressing them with conviction. Instead of wishing the world would fall into my way of thinking, it would be better for me to become so tuned into what is right and true for me that it shapes my choices and influences how I show up in the world. I love what the author shares. When I have sat down in prayer to imagine what would it look like, a world that works for all. We all have such different viewpoints and perspectives that it would be very easy to think that we could imagine or vision something that would work for everyone. The truth is that it wouldn't. So I like to surrender it over to, as I always refer to the beloved, to help him to touch my heart that I may show up as she needs me to show up in the way that would support a world that is working for everyone. I want to share one more quote before we go into our meditation time, because it was a quote that truly touched me. Let me just find it. It's by Werner Erhard. For many people, life seems to be a kind of brief candle, hardly worth living. But for those who are bold, who are venturesome, who have the humility to deal with what is possible, rather than what is predictable, life is an exciting and challenging adventure. Life is no brief candle to me in a world that can work for everyone, especially in which I can make a difference. That is a life worth living. That is living. that is being alive. I think we can see clearly that he speaks truly when he says, when we create a world that works for everyone, that is living, that is life, that is being alive. So if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within. As we enter into the sacred sanctuary of the soul, our heart. It is the middle point in the chakras between the earthly and the heavenly. It is where we can sense, connect, commune with the source of all that is, the ground of our being. Always as we settle into this time and we bring our attention to the breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation. We allow all the thoughts that have been swarming in our mind to settle, to calm. Always I remind you of the words of Job, who said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So as we take the next 3 deep breaths in, let us be cognizant that we are breathing in the breath of life itself, that is renewing, restoring, and replenishing every part and particle of our being. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly, release. And for the 3rd and final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly, release. Take a moment to acknowledge our heart, this wonderful organ that pumps the life-giving blood around our body. And just offer up gratitude, thanks, appreciation for what it does. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Now place your attention on the kidneys, the lower back. Take a moment just to acknowledge with thanks the work of your kidneys, how it eliminates the waste and toxic substances from your body. Inhale, affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in calmness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out stress. Bring your attention to the liver, the right side of the body under the rib cage. The largest organ within the body. And take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work of the liver that detoxifies the blood and combats infections. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Now bring your attention to your lungs. Take a moment and acknowledge with gratitude the work of the lungs as it brings in the air from the atmosphere, passes the oxygen around to the bloodstream. You can go for days or weeks without food or water, but only moments without the breath, without the air. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Bring your attention to your stomach. And acknowledge with gratitude how it works. It takes in the food, it breaks it down, it stores, it mixes it, and it extracts the nutrients so we can be energized. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. Let's take a moment to honor all of the systems within our body. We take them so much for granted and unconscious of the work that they do, that it carries out, that supports us, that if it didn't, we would not be living. Let us honor the skeletal, the nervous, the muscular, the respiratory, the endocrine, the immune, the cardiovascular, the circulatory, the urinary, the intergametary, the reproductive, the digestive systems. And now affirm, the divine within me is wholeness. And my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayers. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. We know that the divine, the loved God, the Holy of Holies, that which is above and beyond all the names we choose to call him, her, it, Yahweh, Jehovah, Buddha, Nisha, Krishna, Christ, and all the other names we ascribe. This divine intelligence, this infinite spirit is beyond space and time, is beyond our limited capacity to understand it. There is nowhere where it is not. God of our being, God that is everywhere present, God that sustains, creates, and exists within each and every part of creation. That is in the cosmos and the galaxies that are vast beyond our comprehension, to the tiniest proton that exists. As we come into conscious communion with you this morning, asking that you resurrect within us the warrior spirit that is able to step forth and step up into being the truest expression of your life that we can be. That we are fearless and faith-filled in everything that we do. Touch our hearts and our minds that we could do whatever is ours to do to make this a world that is working for everyone. That we do what is ours to do to bring about justice, peace, and equity, so that all may exist and live the life they were meant to live. Mother, Father, God, strengthen and embolden us when we feel too weak, too inadequate, not enough, or whatever other excuse may come to consciousness. Let our warrior spirit dissipate it so that we can be courageous, so that we can be diligent, so that we can be fearless in working for you. When we try to envision a world that works for all, when it seems too lofty a goal, let us sit in remembering that you know what is the plans for us, what is the plans for our world. And let us sit in that understanding, awareness, and acceptance that a better world is being created as we fix our attention on you. Mother, Father, God, we know to be absent in the body is to be before you in spirit. And so is our beloved member of our community, Keith, is now in the arms of you. We thank you for the gift of his life, that which he shared with his friends and family, the creativity, the joy, the laughter, the memories that he helped to create that will live on in our hearts. We ask that the angels surround his friends and family who are grieving his loss at this time, as we ask them to surround all those that are grieving the loss of their loved ones. We know that this organic form that we live in, that is the body, is temporary, but your spirit is eternal, and it lives on forever in whichever shape or form, in whichever dimension that we exist in. It is eternal. Mother, Father, God, for all that is happening across our world, for all that is happening for every part of creation, we hold it in our hearts, knowing that God in us, that works in and through us, knows what to do and how to do it. So for every need, for those who have no one to pray or voice their concerns, for the two-legged, the four-legged, the winged, the fin, the hoof, we surrender all to you now, knowing that your grace is our sufficiency in all things and knows what to do and how to do it. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever grateful. So it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hands towards the sky. Wiggle your fingers and affirm aloud, I open myself to life all around me. Brush your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm, I'm one with love and all that love is. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of you and affirm, I speak only words of health and wholeness. Drop your hands to your sides, palms facing outwards and affirm, I give thanks for all good things flowing to me. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists and affirm, I release and let go, and so it is. Take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones for our Buddhist reflections and affirmations. Our science of mind affirmation. Repeat after me. Today, I embrace
the diverse ways
in which the truth shows up. And I embrace it.
And I embrace it
with awe and wonder. Our Buddhist reflections. If anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly or unknowingly,
in thought, word, or deed. I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed. I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all and resentment is dissolved. I forgive myself and I am at peace. I accept myself and I am free. May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy. May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free. May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. Our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly.
I am the love of God within and without. Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly.
Manifesting exuberantly.
I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Take a deep breath in. A rumination for this week. Rumi says, where the lips are silent, the heart has a thousand tongues. And I'd like to share this little poem in memory of Keith. It's entitled Love Lives On, which author is unknown. Those we love remain with us, for love itself lives on. And cherished memories never fade because a loved one's gone. Those we love can never be more than a thought apart. For as long as there is memory, they'll live on in our hearts. My closing benediction, may God's extravagant love consume you to do whatever is put on your heart to do. May the Christ life and passion inspire you to share whatever is yours to share. And the Spirit compel you to do ordinary things with extraordinary love and compassion. My song for you this week is by Matthew West, entitled Do Something. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Was Matthew West and Do Something. My beloved, I wish you a very blessed and happy Sunday. Try and stay dry. Until we meet again.